As Christians and even people of goodwill, we recognize that anger by way of violence and rage is unacceptable. It's unchristian. It's inhumane, both in how we treat the other in that way and how we act out ourselves. But for too many Christians today, the acceptable form of anger and aggression and violence is passive aggressive. So instead of screaming and yelling at you and hating you or punching you or saying horrible things, they just won't speak. Maybe you've experienced that. You have a teenage child and they're angry and they bottle it all in. They won't say a word. And they hold their feelings, their emotions in without saying a word to anyone and end up severely mentally ill because of it. Or maybe you find yourself sleeping in bed next to your spouse and something happened the day before and they won't look at you, let alone speak to you. This passive form of aggression is aggression nonetheless. And it's brutal. It's devastating to the mental health of the person holding it in and extremely abusive to those on the receiving end of the seeming lack of care, the total indifference, and the refusal to speak or have a conversation. Imagine knowing how painful that can be with a child or a spouse. Imagine not hearing from God. Imagine the one who created us in his image and likeness going completely silent. Or worse yet, we refuse to listen to him. We refuse to hear anything he has to say. Before John the Baptist, the Jewish community went hundreds of years without a prophet. They did not hear from God. It was complete silence. But for the scriptures, the prophets and the writings, the Deuterocanonical books, the books of the Old Testament that was written before, and they had to hear God's voice in the midst of centuries of silence. And then finally, John the Baptist, the last prophet to prepare for the way of the coming of Christ, arrives. And they finally not only hear God, but in Christ Jesus, they see him face to face. Today, we celebrate Word of God Sunday. And we recognize and believe and profess that while when we pray, we speak to God, when we read scripture, God speaks to us. But do we really want to hear from him? Do we really care what he has to say? For many centuries in our Catholic traditions, lay people would often take up all kinds of devotions. We do it here with our candles and the prayers to the different saints. But for many centuries, there was a disconnect of these devotions from the Word of God. Some devotions seemingly coming out of nowhere, having no basis in Scripture. And we've filled our time with these devotions. And it's not necessarily bad, except insofar as it leads us away from Scripture. And this has a history. When the Protestant Reformation came to a head, the Church responded with the Council of Trent, condemning certain aspects of the Protestant Reformation. And as a result of the Council of Trent, there was this common mentality or understanding that the Christians or Protestants have Scripture and the Catholics have the sacraments. And it created this division, which was never intended by God and is anything but Christian. The fact that you would have Scripture without the sacraments or the sacraments without Scripture is frankly insane and incomprehensible. In the first centuries of Christianity, there was no Bible. The New Testament books that we have today weren't available to everyone. To most people, they did not have them. One, because there was no printing press. Two, because they had to be handwritten. And three, no one walked around with all these handwritten books. They were expensive. And so for the first centuries of Christianity, Christians did what Christ commanded us to do. Take this, all of you, and eat it. Do this in memory of me. Take this, all of you, and drink it. Do this in memory of me. We celebrated the Last Supper. We celebrated what we call today the Mass, or what in Paul's letters to the Corinthians he calls the breaking of the bread, or Luke's book to Acts of the Apostles. Christians celebrated the Mass. Christians did what Jesus did on Holy Thursday, as he commanded us to do. And we did it and do it on Sunday because it's the day he rose from the dead. But centuries would pass with no Bible, though certain readings, or writings rather, from the apostles or attributed to them would be read during Mass and commented on by the bishop or priest until the 5th century, when the church finally came together and agreed on which books would belong in the Bible and which wouldn't, which they considered inspired by its use in the Mass, and which were not. But even then, in the 5th century, having a consensus as to what books belong in the Bible and which don't, there was no official dogmatic teaching until those books had been questioned in the Protestant Reformation and the Council of Trent listed the, quote, canon or list of scriptures, the canon of the Bible, formally, officially, and dogmatically. But it wasn't until shortly before then that people even had access to it on their own because of the invention of the printing press. Bibles, as some Protestant churches will recount, were literally chained to the top of the ambo of churches so they could not be taken. The reason being is because prior to the printing press, they were handwritten. It was filled with hand-painted art. These Bibles in the church were extremely expensive, and so they were chained down for security reasons. If I had a stack of $80,000 worth of cash sitting on this ambo, I guarantee you within a week it's not going to be here. The Bibles were worth a year's salary oftentimes prior to the invention of the printing press. Finally, the printing press comes and the scriptures become widely available. But now people read them and interpret them how they want. It's written in English, for example, but it wasn't written that way originally. It's read in English today with our mindset of today, but that's not how it was written when it was original in the Hebrew, Greek, or Aramaic, in a completely different time frame, context, culture, and understanding. And so people's minds and imaginations went wild. And we have over 20,000 different Christian denominations today as a result. The church assuring us that only through the magisterium, the bishops in union with the Pope, can we have a certainty as to the interpretation of Scripture. What does it mean today, and how are we supposed to live it? But if we don't even read it, that doesn't even matter, because we don't know. And so in the mid-90s, not long ago, the church came out again with a catechism. It was published in the Council of Trent. And then again, more recently, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, where you have the summary of the church's teachings on all matters of faith and morals, with citations of Scripture throughout to show its scriptural foundations. Though our faith is rooted in Scripture, it is also rooted in sacred tradition. Those centuries that preceded, even an agreement on what was inspired and what belongs in the Bible and what doesn't. Guided by the Holy Spirit to this very day, infallibly in matters of faith and morals, where the Pope speaks ex cathedra from the chair, dogmatically, or the bishops speak in union with the Pope together. And so the scriptures remain as God's word to us. God is not passive-aggressive. God speaks to us lovingly in the scriptures. And when we read the scriptures, he speaks to us and we hear his voice. It's so often that I hear from people, Father, I pray, but I don't hear anything. Father, I talk to God, but he doesn't speak back. And I ask them, are you reading the scriptures? Or are you just talking? We're used today to just talking, right? Social media and the algorithms of social media just bring us down a rabbit hole of hearing more and more of the exact same thing and thinking, only more and more radical over time. It's extremely unhealthy. We know that scientifically and from countless psychologists that have spoken on this and its impact on our children. And yet we still seem to not be able to ban TikTok, knowing the threat it is to our country and to our mental health, among the other forms of social media. And parents refuse to limit their children's access to these things, knowing it causes them depression, anxiety, and severe mental illness. And so we remain in our sickness. We remain enclosed, only speaking and speaking and speaking, and hearing from others that only bring us down a more radical rabbit hole of ideology. Meanwhile, God's voice goes silent because we will not listen to it. We will not hear it. We will not pray with it. As we celebrate this third Sunday in Ordinary Time, Year C, the Year of Scripture, this Sunday of the Word of God, there are a few practical things we can do to go back to the source of our faith, which is captured in sacred scripture. Because ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. This idea that the Protestants have scripture and we have the sacraments is a misnomer. It is completely wrong. Our sacraments preceded scripture. And our sacraments are deeply rooted and spoken about in scripture. The two are inseparable. You cannot have one without the other and be Christian. Let me say that again. You cannot have the sacraments or scripture and not the other and be Christian. The two are inseparable. And so what can we do going forward? Simple things. We come to Mass 15 minutes early to sit with the readings and pray over them before we hear them in Mass. It breaks my heart when this is the one place, the Father's house, church, where we can sit in silence and listen to his voice, and people choose to talk. They rob themselves of this chance to hear God speak in this place that is meant to be a place of silence. And they rob others of that privilege because they talk out loud, disrupting our own effort to pray. So I made the missalettes available to you, thanks to a volunteer who placed all the book holders in the back of the pews. Those were not there when I arrived. And we put the missalettes right in front of your face. You just have to reach out your arm and look based on the date, and the scriptures are there for you. Come early. Pray with God's word as you prepare to hear it in Mass. Because in every Mass, God is speaking to you personally, individually. If our hearts are open, we will hear a word or a phrase that will touch us and change us. Because God longs to speak to you. If only we would listen. The word is right there. The second thing we can do, which we've also made available to you that didn't exist when I arrived, was this applicationformed.org. It's on the back of your bulletin and on our parish website, how to download it. Available on your phones, tablets, smart TVs, you name it. And on that app, that Catholic app, there are hundreds of talks and teachings on scripture, on different books of the Bible, by experts who are far more expert in scripture than I. My doctorate's in preaching. Theirs are in scripture. And you can literally just sit at home and watch TV and learn about God's word. That's apart from having available to you apps on your phone that allows you to pray with the readings of Mass every day. Easy, accessible, free applications on your smartphones. If we do not read the scriptures, if we do not allow God to speak to us, if we do not hear his voice, we will not know him. And then we'll create a Jesus of our own invention, a faith of our own convenience or accommodation. And it's not the real Christ, and it's not Christianity. In the first reading today from the book of Nehemiah, Ezra, the priest, opens the scroll, and he stands, as I am, high above the crowd, and literally reads scripture from daybreak until midday, 5 or 6 hours of just reading God's word. And the people are rapt in attention for 5 or 6 hours because they long to hear God's voice. Speak to me, Lord. I need to hear your voice. I want to know who you are and who I am because of what you say and not others. And when he finished, they all cried out, "Amen, amen, so be it." They bowed and prostrated themselves before the Lord on the ground, worshiping him because he spoke. Do you hear him? Will you be willing to hear him? If we pray with the scriptures, familiarize ourselves with his word in the ways I've suggested, a few practical suggestions, our lives will be completely different. Only when we hear God tell us who he is and who we are, can we truly be his followers. Christ dedicated his life to make the word of God known in the flesh, literally. He is the eternal word of the Father made flesh. And the Gospels capture his sayings and his doings. They are a simple, easy, quick way to begin reading scripture by simply reading the Gospels. And when we do that, we respond in kind to God's loving invitation to follow him and to serve him, each using our gifts for the building up of the body of Christ. That's what Paul's speaking about in the second reading today to the Corinthians from his first letter. Each of us have different gifts that God has given us. And if we hear his voice, we are naturally want to respond and put our gifts in the service of our community. Because if everyone does a little bit, we can accomplish a lot. But if only a few people do a lot, they'll eventually burn out and the church will fall apart and die. At the end of the day, God's word is a light unto our feet, a lamp that gives clarity and sight in the midst of the darkness of this world and our lives. If only we will read it, pray with it, and realize that when we read scripture, God is speaking to our hearts. Ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. May we remain no longer ignorant, but knowing him, knowing ourselves, may his word bring us the freedom and the joy we long for. Amen. Amen.